Kansas anymore. Are you ready?
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
This task was appointed to you.
I said I want the truth!
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Dodge that.
We are back for part two of the BUSC Youth Panel Takeover, where we are looking at the teenage experience through the big screen. And we are going to be picking up where part one left off, so in the 2000s. And we're going to be looking at films all up through to 2023, ending on Barbie. And before we kick off our conversation today, we're going to introduce everyone. I am Emma.
I'm Ramesa.
Hi, I'm Lucy.
Hi, I'm Noah.
And whether you're a film buff or someone navigating the whirlwind of adolescence, this is the perfect podcast for you. So, as cliche as it is to say, grab your popcorn, settle into your favourite spot, and join us as we unravel the films that have shaped, challenged, and celebrated teenage identity, and where teenage identity collides into a symphony of storytelling.
Hello, I'm Noah, and I'm going to be talking about Billy Elliot. So it unfolds as the tale of an 11-year-old boy who breaks free from the harshness of his life, and it's through this new discovery of his love for ballet. And it's actually adapted from A.J. Cronin's book called The Stars Look Down, and it was directed by Stephen Daldry in 2000. And this film gave rise to a successful West End musical, which is actually a collaborative effort between the original screenwriter, Lee Hall, and Elton John. And so this film is set against the backdrop of the UK miners' strike of 1984. And so the main character, Billy Elliot, is amidst the struggles of his family's poverty, and he finds this peace in music inherited from his late mother. But despite his father's push towards more conventional pursuits like boxing or wrestling, Billy secretly transitions to ballet, and this encapsulates this new theme within the film of embracing a new individuality, because you see all of this story of the miners' strike and everyone that it was affected, but it's through the eyes of this, you know, little boy who's, you know, finding his way and finding his steps and discovering who he is. But yeah, the BVSC rated this a 15 for language and challenging issues and mild violence.
I definitely think the way that the miners' strike goes on in the background, it's not necessarily always addressed in the film, and that happens a lot through like your youth and stuff. Sometimes you do just see things, and it's not always, those hard topics aren't always necessarily fully addressed, if that makes sense, which I think was a really interesting perspective to look at. They don't necessarily talk about why there's a miners' strike, you know, and the different themes around that.
And I also think, like, what's so great about especially this film is that, for example, with Billy, is that, you know, he has this passion for ballet, and, you know, it's where his heart really lies. But, you know, there's all this pressure coming from around him, you know, to do boxing. And I think it really does show that, like, you have to do what you want to do, even if it's considered unconventional. And I think that's a really great message that comes out from this film. It's like, you got to do what you want to do, because at the end of the life, it's so cliche, but you only got one life and you got to live that life
yeah.
the way you want to.
And I just really like how it's especially mirrored through the dad as well.
Yeah.
When he stops going to the strikes and he actually starts working again. And he's considered like an outsider as well by all of his surrounding community. But like, again, that's like the theme of the film, which I just find really amazing, I think, how they managed to keep sending home this message of just embracing your individuality.
Yeah, I think that's what makes it resonate with so many people growing up. Everyone needs to find their own identity, find themselves, and this is a really good example and thing for people to watch to like inspire them and see that even if a thing isn't the common thing to do, if they love it, they should do it.
And I think also is just against like all the societal expectations, you follow your heart and what you want to do.
Aww.
And yeah, as we all say on like on the three R. But no, and I think it's a really great film.
Yeah, even though when you watch it, it is actually, it's not as cute. it's not just like, oh, be who you are. Like, no, that it is quite hard to watch it sometimes. But no, it's the messages. Is very.
I think particularly when the dad changes as well, it's like, it's not just the young people changing, it's also like the adults is quite nice to see as well. Like, and the support that the dad eventually gives him is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to link it to another film, which is Pride. It doesn't necessarily talk about teenage experiences, but it does talk again about the backdrop of the miners' strike in the 80s and like how life was like under Margaret Thatcher's rule during the time of that in England. And yeah, again, it talks about embracing individuality and fighting for what's right. And I think it has some quite similar themes when I think about Billy Elliot and when I think about like the film Pride. Yeah, I think they do quite resonate with each other because they're quite similar in some ways, and the ways that they talk about the issues and yeah, the context as well is at the same time. So,
well, I personally haven't watched Pride, but I shall be adding it to my to watch list.
Yes, it's very good. It's very good.
I think for me, similar to that, but with the film Belfast, the way that they address the like ongoing political background that's happening within the different times through like the child's viewpoint, if that makes sense. I think that's quite an interesting way that it's done in a similar way.
Next, we've got the gender-bending comedy of She's the Man, brought to you by Ramesa.
Thank you. So She's the Man was produced in 2005 and was released in 2006. So it's as old as I am. but it was a big part of growing up. It's rated as a 12 due to containing moderate sex references. The story is a modern adaptation of William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. So it shows Viola, played by Amanda Bynes, a football, or as the Americans call it, soccer. She's a player of that on the girls' team, but she finds out that in the new school year, the girls' team is being shelved because not enough people signed up. So she tries out, well, she wants to try out for the boys' team, but they don't allow her to. So rather than stick with that and allow that to be how it goes, she decides to dress up and pretend to be her twin brother at his new school whilst he's off gallivanting in Europe with his band.
As you do.
So she is planning to be able to beat her original team from the school to with this new group. And whilst there, she's rooming with another team member who's played by Channing Tatum.
We've discussed this guy before.
We have discussed him at length. Yep.
So his character is Duke, and to try and get his help to become better at the game in order to be on the first string and play against the original team, she has to try and help him date the girl that he likes within the school. But juggling the two identities, her mother's dreams of her being a debutante, the game of football, and the romance in this show, it is a classic watch for growing up.
It also has one of my favourite lines, I think, from any film I've probably ever watched. I mean, this film is just actually riddled with great lines.
Very iconic.
I think my favourite one, I am just looking at Lucy now because we were saying it earlier to each other, and it was, "And when I close my eyes, I see you for who you truly are, which is ugly." I think it's a great line.
There's just so many like quotes from this film.
And also like, "I'm allergic to sun." You know, just great.
The film's littered with every corner there's a good quote. Yeah. Oh my God.
And it's like when you like see them all put together, you're like, damn, this film really is that film. Jeez.
Obviously, I think it was a really big thing in the early 2000s to have retellings of Shakespeare and make it into a modern teen romance comedy, whatever it is, and try and make it more palatable to a younger audience, which I think was really effectively done with this. Obviously, there are elements that are not Shakespearean, but it's really relatable and it does show a lot about gender and like identity and wanting to be able to do things, but the world around not allowing it, just like Billy Elliot.
Wow.
Look at Link.
I also feel like when I was watching the film, I was just like really cheering for Viola. I was like, go on, you get it, you're doing so great. And I think it kind of shows the challenges of asserting like one's identity into a world with rigid gender roles. She had to take matters into her own hands, and kind of it shows her resilience and her determination, and I, you know, really commend that.
I think it puts those types of themes in quite an easily accessible film to watch as well. Like, it's not too heavy to watch and you can kind of just sit back and relax it. It's not anything that's like really strenuous to watch, and it kind of just, it's like embedded in.
And that's what I so like about it, is that like it does have these important themes and these important messages, but it's done in a nice like a way, and it's kind of mean this film is also like accessible to you, as you said, it was rated a 12. So like, you know, people of that age can also watch it and have a good time, which I think is also really important.
Yeah, it's funny. It's good.
It's really funny.
As we've said, it's got some great lines in it.
obviously, there is a moment where they do like suggest to sexual things, and but it is more, it's not really shown in like a way that would be really harmful to the plot or what the comedy of the whole thing is. So
yeah, and I think it what I really like is it does, like, you know, there's also exploration of love and it's done through like comedy, which I really enjoy. And I think it, like, some of the experience, like when you have Channing Tatum's character Duke, you know, when he's like in his class and he's getting really like flustered and doesn't know what to do because he's this big crush on that girl, like I feel like, you know, I can personally say I've been in that situation before where, you know, you're like, oh my god, what do I say, like I'm freezing up, like I'm getting nervous. And I really think that's quite nice that you have that, you relate to it, which is really nice. And
yeah, and it's really lovely to see his contrast of character to her ex-boyfriend at the start, who is really, you know, reinforcing those stereotypes and sort of just uses her but doesn't allow her to be, because he's the head of the football team, yeah, at the original school, but he doesn't accept that she loves the sport and she wants to do that. And when we see later in the other school, when they figure out things, they still accept that this is what she loves and this is what she wants to do.
Yeah.
I think there's some really nice like role models to be seen about different genders and stuff like that within the film that sometimes you don't necessarily always get with coming of age films. I mean, a lot of them are, but there are definitely a few to think of that don't necessarily have that type of thing. So obviously Duke's character opens up quite a lot about how he feels, and he's quite sensitive throughout, which I think is quite nice to see on screen.
Yeah. And I also think like what I really liked is that, you know, at the beginning when he was like, he was going off to his, you know, his tour because he's in a band, and he was like, you cover for me. And it's like, you know, like when you're younger, you're always trying to get your sibling to like cover for you, like while you're doing something you shouldn't really be doing. And I also really liked that because it just, there's so much that you can relate to with that film, and that you're like, oh, that's happened to me. Isn't that weird? But that's all, yeah, I really love that about that
and
film.
That character just takes everything in his stride.
Yeah. And then, like, just leaves the house through the window. Like, yeah. See you later. Yeah.
I guess especially with both children and the ideals that their parents force upon them, just being able to like see them follow what they want to do, even if it isn't like what is standard and expected of them, it's just really nice to see represented on the screen, because obviously he's going off his band, I'm sure the mother would not want that, and they did not know he was in Europe, but and for her doing football when the mother's trying to make her go in all these ball gowns and dresses, which are, you know, the standard thing of like stereotypes, but
yeah, breaking which them. I think is really, you know, leaving it. Yeah. Now we're on to the soul-searching narrative of Perks of Being a Wallflower. So Perks of Being a Wallflower was made in 2012, the year of Call Me Maybe, Beanies and the last Twilight film, but however, it is set in the early 90s. However, it still holds a relevance today, reaching across decades to teenagers of 2023. So The story is about a boy called Charlie, who's played by Logan Lerman, and it's his first year of high school, a boy who loves the Smiths, writing, Rocky Horror, Diaries, and a girl called Sam. And like most of us, he struggles to make friends initially, but in a fabulous twist of fate, he meets with some seniors at his school and befriends them. This friendship is a lifeline for Charlie, providing an escape from his own deep-rooted struggles with his mental health when he, there are spoilers, then loses not only these friends, but the person he loves at the midpoint of the film. And we are shown the destructive power of isolation and blame. The BBFC rating for this film is a 12, which is appropriate given the level of sex and drug references. However, I think the emotional impact of it can be underestimated. As the BBFC says in the guidelines for the film, there is a suggestion that one of the principal characters was sexually abused by an aunt when he was very young. However, any verbal references to this are very discreet and oblique.
I personally really like this film because the book by Stephen Chbosky, if I'm saying his surname right, yeah, he actually was the screenwriter of the film. So I think that it just, I really like how genuine that the film is, literally because it was made by the writer of the book. I think also this representation of like teenagers in this film, I would say it's pretty accurate. Like feeling that you don't really, you know, like fit in, and you find your crowd, and you know there are twists and there are turns, and there are good times, and you get over them, and then there's a new thing that comes up. And I think that just especially this film, I think it, like, yeah, it's again like how we said before, when there's just a quote in a film, it just makes it so memorable. And I think that one quote, you know, at the very end of the film, I think it was like, it just ends with, "We are infinite." And I think that it's just such a, like, that line just resonates for so many people, because like how else can you like describe how you're feeling it, like in that one shot, you know, with the car and yeah.
And I think the other quote that was along that as well is, "We can't choose where we come from, but we can choose where we go from there." Which is also like tied in with "We are infinite," and I think they're just really,
yeah,
really good.
I wasn't really like a proper teenager during the time of when this film came out, obviously, but it, you can tell that it did certainly have an impact on teenagers at the time, because it did like birth this new like meme format of "But we are infinite," and like a bunch of different memes.
And it's really important to see like the representation of like mental health on the screen. Obviously the character goes through a lot, but it's like a thing that, you know, affects so many people around this age range, and just seeing that can really help and give way to like looking into it, or asking someone around you, "Are you okay? Is everything going fine?"
Yeah,
I feel like it can start those discussions as well.
Yeah,
in terms of looking at mental health, and sometimes you need that like stimulus of watching a film to start that discussion. What do you guys think on the 12 rating? I personally think it's quite a hard watch at points.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like, I've seen it before, and then when I saw that it was on the like the podcast, I was kind of a bit skeptical to rewatch it, because I know how bits of it can be quite hard hitting. So what do you think of the 12?
I especially think, like, towards the end, especially, like, it really hits then. And also when you kind of leave the film and, you know, you're kind of digesting everything you've kind of watched, it can be, like, a even more hard-hitting then when you've sat on it for a while. So I feel like I'm quite split between the 12 rating and a 15. But I think, ultimately, I do think I agree with the rating of 12, because I think, it, as you said, it starts those important discussions.
Yeah, and younger people often, you know, go through so many important things, and it's really a way to for people to, you know, understand what they're going through and what they're feeling, is to have the medium of film.
Yeah, I definitely think it's very good to spread awareness about this sort of stuff. I agree that yeah, there are some points where it's hard to watch, but yeah, all in all, it's just an important message.
I think the way it ends as well, slight spoilers in terms of it's, the parents are very supportive towards the end. I think that definitely helps make it slightly easier to watch. But overall, I do agree with the 12. It's just, in parts, it's a tough watch.
And I think one thing I really think this film really shows is it's kind of really shows the importance of friendships and how they really do shape kind of your experience and your childhood in a way, and the importance of them. And I think, you know, you leave that film kind of wanting to like just reach out and ask how your friends are and ask if you want to do something, because I think it does hit home that again.
No, I agree. It does emphasize that, like, not just the importance of family, but also like friendship, and then having that like connections around you and that support network.
Community.
How important it is.
Because I feel like sometimes you can not forget, but sometimes you get so, you know, focused on what you're doing that you need to remember that there are other people around you that, you know, are important people in your life.
It reminds me a lot of the film Me and the Earl and the Dying Girl.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that film like a couple of years ago, and I was devastated for the rest of the day. I literally couldn't think of anything else. I was like, what have I just watched?
You know when you know that trend of like films that changed my, like things that changed my brain chemistry?
That film, the trajectory
of your life. Quite literally. I think, yeah, it's just such a heartfelt film.
It broke me, that
it
film.
It broke, yeah.
It's the way it builds it up to be nice and happy, and then it just, oh.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with you. It definitely like talks on similar themes. Even the way that it's like, it's shown like these two main characters who feel like they don't really fit in, and oh god, yeah, damn, you just reminded me of like a whole era.
I think growing up, a little dose of heartbreak is very important.
Definitely. Now we are on to perhaps the blockbuster of the year, Barbie, brought to you by Lucy.
So Barbie has been one of the most highly anticipated films of 2023, and it's directed by Greta Gerwig. Broke records as it surpassed £1 billion at the box office. Although the blockbuster gained media attention for its star-studded cast, original soundtrack and pink dress code in cinemas, many have also praised its powerful message about childhood. The story about Mantle's most popular doll explores the struggles of growing up female and the pressures of striving to be the ideal woman. Amidst the sequins, costumes and campy dance numbers, Greta manages to communicate the idea that adolescents are required to conform to unrealistic expectations. As a teenager, it's validating to see Barbie point out this unfair standard, and also confronting that the film criticises the status quo, aiming to teach that being authentically yourself is most important. The BBFC gave Barbie a 12 age rating for moderate innuendos, brief sexual harassment and implied strong language. This decision makes it easily accessible to viewers of many ages and means parents can choose to introduce their children to more adult or serious themes on their own terms. Barbie is a great opportunity for young people to learn about growing up in 2023 and will last as an accurate portrayal of adolescence in today's society. So on that, what does everyone think of the 12A rating?
I remember at the time when it received a 12A rating, I remember reading quite a lot of reviews and I remember it being brought up quite a lot. And I think it's one of those films where necessarily, you know, younger children might not understand the themes and the messages as much as, but it doesn't mean that they can't enjoy the film. And I think that that was the beauty of the film, is that older people could understand the message and themes, but it doesn't mean that younger people couldn't enjoy it just as much.
Especially with it being 12A.
Afterwards about what actually happened, rather than, you know, leaving them to understand it themselves. A parent can take their kid to watch it, but it warrants maybe a discussion on movies.
Oh yeah.
And so moving on and like growing up and being able to see Barbie as like a real woman, and more than like, obviously the original movies did have a lot of like really important messages and like things that it would like show to a younger audience, but I really feel that this movie was an amazing work from Greta, but she, like in all her other works, does a coming of age. She shows how identity like can come from like not knowing things before and like just learning how the world is and like life and like becoming yourself, because at the start Barbie is just a doll. Barbie is just what we make her to be, and by the end she is able to, you know, take autonomy of herself and choose what she wants to do. And even though that she starts off as a stereotypical thing that we all want to be, it really does play into like how everyone judges themselves and like wants to be a certain ideal that in the past the doll has been criticized for, but moving forwards it allows us to reclaim that and make it mean more about just being a woman.
I think it's really nice that they dress that, because I think it could be, they could have just done a film about Barbie and it
would have done great.
It wouldn't have been the same, I don't think. Like, they could have really just skipped over that part of it.
Yeah. I don't think Greta would do that, though.
I don't think Greta would do that either. No. But if Greta wasn't there.
Yeah, we could have had a different story. But I also find it funny how they do, like, criticize, I guess. Like, you know, the teenagers of this generation, like, you know, they're moody and they don't like Barbies and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, they know that teenagers are going to be, like, the audience of this film. So I find it quite funny that they did that. And, you know, it is true that nowadays most people, well, teenagers don't really like Barbies.
And I think it really shows kind of the pressures of growing up female in the pursuit of an idealized womanhood. And I think, like, obviously we've talked about, like, the pressures placed upon to be perfect, to be the perfect Barbie. You know, I think throughout the film, you know, you always see, is it pregnant Barbie?
Midge.
Yeah, Midge.
And they're just, oh, Midge. Do you know what I mean? And I think, like, it does kind of highlight the pressures placed upon, you know, everyone to be perfect all the time, when the reality is we're not. And, you know, as cringe as it says, it's our imperfections that make us who we are, and it makes us humans, because, you know, human is perfect. And I just think, you know, towards the end when Gloria, you know, is saying we have to be this, but we have to be that, and we need, and I think it really does just show that, like, you know, through platforms like social media, all these expectations are placed upon us. And I think you just need to remain true to who you are. And as long as you're happy, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks or says.
Yeah. And whilst you were talking about that, I thought of two things. I was thinking, like, you know, Barbie as a movie is really self-aware. There's, like, the references to, like, when she's like feeling self-conscious, and you go, this is Margot Robbie. We all know that you can't, like, she is, like, an ideal as well. Like, you can't place and, like, say that as, like, such a, like, well-known and, like, you know, stereotypically gorgeous woman.
Barbie.
That things are, like, that way. And obviously, like, Pride and Prejudice, like, it really does show, like, girlhood and what, like, key parts of life are, and, like, that whole montage they have of, like, real people within this movie. But then I also started thinking about Alan's character. When like the matriarchy of, like, Barbie Land sort of crumbles, you sort of still see that there is opportunity to, like, stay true to, like, being a good person and caring about things. And in sort of, like, masculinity as well, there's these things imposed on men of what makes you masculine, what makes you important. It doesn't have to impose on the women. It doesn't have to change the way that you treat others as well. And I feel that's really affected with Alan's character.
Yeah.
I think the way that it combines those quite hard-hitting messages with comedy is really impactful, because it kind of catches you off guard in points. Like, it's one of those films that, like, you'll laugh and cry at the same time, and you get all this, like, mixture of emotions. Or at least I felt like that when I was watching it, because it is a really funny film. Like, there were many jokes in it where I was really laughing. But I think that's nice to see sometimes, that kind of mixture between the two.
There was one scene in the film where it was like, you know, at the end of an advert, when it kind of have, like, you know, the terms and conditions, but they're said really quickly, like, so it's like you're not deterred from getting that product, whatever. They have that in Barbie at one point where it says, you know, it mentions, like, anxiety and stuff, but they do it so quickly, and it's so, like, you know, it's meant to kind of be pushed to the side. And I think, you know, I think for quite a while in, like, society, mental health wasn't really, like, a, you know, an important topic, or was kind of really brushed to the side. But I think, like, nowadays, you know, it's really becoming, like, center and on center stage, and I think that's really important. And I think that film really emphasized that, and we need to have, you know, open conversations about it.
So another film that we all think really resonates with like a younger, well, many audiences is Little Women, by directed by Greta Gerwig. I know for me, I've watched it a few times and every time it makes me feel so many emotions, much like Barbie. I'm laughing, I'm crying, like, and it's not even at the same, like, the same scene. It's always different parts of it, and I think it's a really complex film, and the different themes that are portrayed and the way the characters express themselves and they're all different, I think it's really relatable too. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think Little Women as a book was really important to a lot of people growing up as well, but having it in this sort of way by Gerwig, you know, it really looks at sisterhood and like the way that things change in family dynamics, friendship and things as you grow up. You know, we see them drift away, get closer together, all these things that just happen as a result of every action that you decide to like make, and like what happens once you're out of that normal family unit and you're growing up to be an adult. Obviously, I think it's really interesting to see like the way that the movie is cut together, where they have the moments where they're older, moments where they're younger, and it just really represents just growing up, like coming of age, because they all have their own journeys and they all have their own like outcomes and things that they're going to lead to. But no matter what, throughout that, there's still something that binds them all together.
It feels really down to earth and like really realistic. Everything's constantly changing, and like, because you're living here at one point doesn't mean you will in the future. And I think that's really nice to watch. It's like a nice film to reflect upon like childhood and memories and stuff like that. And I think the scene I really like is when they go back, when they go to the beach scene and they're all just running and it's like so happy and things like that. It puts it in a really nice, happy way.
Yeah. And I think like you said, like childhood is ever changing, and kind of, I feel like that film really shows that. And I also feel like on and like with Little Women, because you kind of have this, you know, these sisters who are so close, and, you know, that's not without, you know, they're with their fights, and but they're still close together. And like, for example, I'm one of six, so I have five siblings, and I and so I really understand kind of that close knit and that, you know, that respect you have. And then, but at times when, you know, another sibling does something wrong, and I think that really does resonate with me a lot. And the importance of family, because that is a really big theme, and I think especially with teenagers, it really resonates with.
Yeah. I was gonna link it to another Gerwig film, actually. Lady Bird. Yeah. For me, at least, that touches on a lot of like personal experiences, as well as like growing up as a teenager, just growing up with your parents and having those little fights that at the time mean nothing, but, you know, sorry. Like, I just feel like in the film, I remember when I was watching it, it didn't really feel like I was watching like a film. It felt like I was watching some sort of like a mirror, because it was, you see this so much, I feel. The way that Greta just portrays these teenage female characters, they do generate a lot of resonance.
And also with Lady Bird and Little Women, both of them really look at the idea of like wanting to get out, wanting to grow up, wanting definitely to be different, wanting to like decide to be your own person. And like in both cases, it's like sort of more of a creative like angle of wanting to just be not the same as everyone else, which I feel like resonates with a lot of people. You just feel like you're stifled in the conditions you're out if everyone is the same, everyone's doing the same thing. And, you know, learning to like love that, but also being able to remember like your roots and like things like that just keep you grounded. I feel like her characters are able to really learn that in the way she portrays them.
I know. I just remember this one quote from Lady Bird, like, I wish that you liked me. And then the mum responded, of course I love you. I feel like that's like a perfect encapsulation of just like, just the mother and the daughter bond. Like I just saw that and I was just like, whoa, that, like, I don't know how she did it. Like,
yeah, like what is duty and what is
your
actual feelings?
I feel like Greta's really good at summarising that type of like teen experience and just like female experience in all of her films. Like she just encapsulates it so well throughout, and they're really relatable.
Yeah, also like just linking it to what we've previously like talked about in the other movies, they all kind of have something that makes them different, that makes them want to like, you know, move on from where they are. And like whilst Gerwig does it amazingly, I feel like it is a thing about growing up and being a teen, is, you know, finding that and finding what you want to do whilst everyone else tells you to do something else.
And I think it's really important to know that, you know, teenage years can be hard for everyone, and it's to know that you're not alone and that everyone goes through it. And I really think that's what's so great about Greta Gerwig and her films. We are really a Greta appreciation, yeah.
Guys, let's not
Greta Gerwig give ourselves. Us
this is just a Greta Gerwig
panel takeover. Greta Gerwig. If there was one film from the list that we've talked about today that you could rewatch and kind of be introduced to that world all over again, and everything that you've seen and kind of all those messages and themes and that you left from that film, what would it be?
I think I'd like to relive my Barbie cinema experience, and so thus I'd pick that. Like, I went with my friends, we all dressed up in pink, got pictures outside, and it was just such a special moment, I feel like, that we shared together. Like, we were all laughing, we were all crying. I'd love to retake that again.
You know, my experience of watching it was very sad in the cinema. There was not many people. I went to like a really empty showing, and I was like, oh, I was expecting a huge like explosion of pink.
Was this at the peak of the Barbiness?
It was like this, like 2 days after it was out.
What? That's weird. My cinema was really busy. Like,
I think I just went to a really random cinema.
Oh, that's so sad.
But it was a really great movie, and obviously in the Greta Gerwig fan club.
As
that's what I pick. But obviously, what I was talking about, She's the Man, it was a great movie to like grow up with. Mm. And Barbie's very new, so not growing up with it yet.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Because when you grow up with a film, it kind of, you build more of an attachment to it without really realising.
When you have like those experiences as well, where you watch it with people and you like, you really build a thing behind it more than the film sometimes.
Yeah. You just make references to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Little Women I've watched a few times, and so I've kind of grown a few like years up with it since it kind of came out, which has been nice.
Sorry guys, I'm going to be a bit of a contrarian. I'm not going to choose the Greta Gerwig Barbie.
No. Traitor.
I think I'm going to say Perks Being a Wallflower. Just because, yeah, it reminds me a lot of the other film that we mentioned, Me, Earl and the Dying Girl. And yeah, I just feel like that film and Perks of Being a Wallflower, it's just, it's one of those really memorable ones for me, because you just like, it talks about those themes that, like, again, we don't talk about it in like general day-to-day life. You don't talk about your mental health. You don't talk about things like that. And I feel like it's just really important. And the first time I watched it, I just needed like a moment to like think about it, because that quote just stuck with me. We are infinite. Like, how can you not forget that?
I think I'm gonna join the Greta Gerwig.
Yay.
I would rewatch Little Women. Like, when I watched that film for the first time, I was just like, incredible. But also because that one scene with Laurie and Joe, that scene, like, I like was bawling my eyes out. Like, I'm not even going to try and recreate it, because the way it was done was incredible and perfect and amazing. Yeah. But it just was so heartbreaking. And I think it just like showed like that vulnerability, and just like, it was so heartbreaking. But like, you know, teenage heartbreak is a part of growing up, and everyone goes through it. And I just think that scene was just perfect.
When Timothée Chalamet says, ooh, and I'll watch, it breaks my heart. That's
to
it.
To be fair though, I resonate most with Amy, I think. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She starts off like, you know, all this young and like trying to tag along with people. Mm. And, you know, she doesn't feel that she's like worthy if she's not like the best. And I feel like that's a thing that a lot of people go through as well. Like, they think, if I'm going to do something, I have to be great at it. And if not, I'm not going to try. So
yeah, that monologue that she said really stuck with me, I remember.
Gerwig and her monologues.
Real.
Just Greta Gerwig, full stop.
So as we've discovered today, we are all big, big Greta Gerwig fans. And this is now officially a Greta Gerwig fan club. No longer a youth panel. But We really enjoyed talking today about this, and thank you so much for listening.